This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show, the final Doug and Danny Show before the NCAA tournament begins. The men tomorrow and the women beginning on Sunday. And Daddy, last night the NIT got underway. And to Colin Cowherd, the only people that really are excited about the NIT are the ones that have teams in it. And I don't even think that was a situation for Creighton fans last night, but they missed a whale of a comeback.
Yeah, they did. Creighton got a great win at the end. You know what? If you're just watching basketball, how about Akron dialing it in? They were dialing it in. I think that was the last. That's the last name of a Mr. Dial. He had the three-pointers in the overtime period. Looked like they totally gave the game back to Florida State, and Florida State would win it on the win it in overtime. Not the case. Akron advances and moves on. And you know what? For these teams, it is an exciting time because their seasons are extending. You know, the Nebraska playing in postseason for the first time ever. They get set to take on UNC Charlotte in the Devaney Center tonight.
Well, coming up on the program in the big boy chair is John McBride, athletic director at UNK. We're going to talk to him in just a moment. Sonny Galloway, head baseball coach at Oklahoma, is going to join us. Getting him on today because with no show the next 2 days because of the NCAA tournament, we will chat with him about the series that is coming up this weekend. We're also going to be talking with USC, Wisconsin, and Cal State Fullerton folks as we take a look at what's going on with them and their teams that are coming to the NCAA tournament in Omaha. Plus, the world's been waiting for our NCAA predictions and tournament champion.
For all the talk about 5 versus 12, and oh, there's always a 12 beats a 5. You know what? There's not going to be this year. The 4s and 13s not going to be this year. But the 6 and 11s, I'm going to say it here, I'm going to say it one time. There are four 11s that can beat the 6s. There are all four 11s can beat the 6s, and those could be the best games of the day.
Well, Danny, you take a look at those as well, and you've got a couple interesting matches, like Georgia down there at a 14, Villanova at a 12. I mean, you do have some teams that are legit in those spots out of big-time conferences.
Yeah, you've got some big-time names up there, but I think you know those other teams are overmatched a little bit. I've said it before, Xavier, Butler, and Drake, get out. Bounced out early. I know you're rated 10th in the country to 18th in the country. I've not been a fan of those three teams all year. They, you know, the committee has not been a fan of the Missouri Valley. You need to go further than look at Illinois State making it into the, not making it into the dance. I think Drake gets bounced early.
And, of course, the NIT tonight, Nebraska men, will be taking on Charlotte. That's on ESPN Classic. So, folks, if you got Charter, you're not going to get it. You're going to have to go look for it. You're going to have to, find a way to watch that game if you want to watch the game tonight at 8 o'clock. The winner takes on Mississippi or UC Santa Barbara in the second round. As we said, Creighton advanced, and they will play the winner of the game tonight between San Diego State and Florida. And here to break it down from a Florida perspective, UNK Athletic Director John McBride joins us in studio.
I think you said there'd be no Florida questions.
Well, you know, I thought that they should be in the big tournament just because they're the two-time defending national champion, but I didn't get a lot of support on that. But we're not worried about the men at this moment. We're worried about the ladies as we're a week away. Next week at this time, we'll be live at the Health and Sports Center with the Doug and Daddy Show, getting ready for Alaska, Anchorage, and Franklin Pierce, the first game of the Elite Eight basketball tournament. And, John, now that all the planning and all that has been taken care of, now it's time to, I guess, execute the event again.
Almost taken care of. We still got a week, and that's a long time to get more things done. But having a year under the belt has helped. I think we feel a little better about what is going to happen, having had an event take place. And last year was an unknown, as you moved into the first day, but the elementary schools are back on board, and that outreach program is stronger than ever. We anticipate, you know, large groups of the elementary kids and their parents to follow the tournament and be part of the tournament, supporting their adopted teams throughout the tournament. That's an aspect that, quite frankly, is our chancellor is even asked about by from presidents and chancellors from schools that were here last year. They still remember those kids, you know, waving the signs and having the school colors and being a vocal cheering section, especially the Southern Connecticut State folks. They remember that as much as anything else from their experience, which is neat. And so, yeah, that's back in place, and we're looking forward to that. Our student athletes, about 80 of them, have been going out to schools for the past couple of months and doing programs, outreach type programs, as a prelude to when the teams come in next week. On Tuesday, each of the teams will pay a visit to their adopted elementary school in the Kearney Public School System and spend about 45 minutes with them, give them some goodies that they can take to the games with them and talk to them about their experiences of making it to the Elite Eight. So that'll truly get things kicked off on, you know, on Tuesday.
Obviously, John, a little bit disappointing, and not that the women, because they had to go through such a tough regional. Carroll did a great job once again. Got back to the semifinals up there. South Dakota comes in as the closest team, and then they get to face the other closest team. So the biggest game of the night, obviously, maybe takes a little bit away, you know, because one of those teams will go home the first day, which is a little bit disappointing.
That's sort of a dual-edged sword, because we should have a heck of a crowd on Wednesday night. For that first game. It obviously is not drawn up according to McBride, the region, because we would like to do that differently. But, you know, that happened a year ago. We had the same deal, and some of the teams left early. We do know that one of the local teams will be back for that second night. That'll help. But it should be quite an atmosphere in there, especially on Wednesday evening. South Dakota and Washburn both will be bringing bands and cheerleaders and pretty good crowd and cheering sections. So that would be one I think people would want to get out and you know, take in that second session on Wednesday night. But just to make sure, you know, tickets are on sale at the UNK Athletic Ticket Office, 865-1563. You can go on lopers.com, get all the tournament information you want on the Tournament Central there. But $35 for an adult pass, $25 for seniors and kids. Folks, you can't do anything better than those type pricing for a national championship event. But you can see 7 games for $35 or 7 games for $25. I don't think I need to say anything else except get your tickets and be part of a national championship event. Anybody that was part of it a year ago will give you a testimony as to how exciting it is and what a neat event it is. Even if the Lopers aren't in it, it's something that you don't want to miss an opportunity, miss your chance to see before it leaves town. You know, who knows? You know, we were going to try to get these events back here, but we may not get it back here. This may be the only time you have a chance to see this type of thing. So please make your plans now. We still have the souvenir courts for the people ordering the tournament passes. It's a commemorative item. It's a nice piece. That comes with a purchase of a tournament pass as well. Like, we need to give them any incentive to purchase a bargain like that. But next Wednesday, we do get it kicked off at noon with Alaska Anchorage and Franklin Pierce. 2:30 is Northern Kentucky against Wingate. That's session one. Session two begins at 6 o'clock. Delta State, undefeated, only undefeated team in the field. A real power in the past, returning to the Elite Eight, playing California, Pennsylvania. And then at 8:30 will be South Dakota and Washburn. The semifinals follow on Thursday night. ESPNU is carrying those. And I'm not sure if that's available locally.
It's not on charter, but, again, you can go see the game. It is on DirecTV, but
well,
that's
we
another
want,
reason to come out.
Well, that's exactly right. It's not available locally. We want our people to be out there because we need a full crowd. You know, we need as large a crowd as possible. The NCAA and ESPN folks were ecstatic last year with the turnout we had. We filled that lower bowl. It was a great look on television. We're going to dress up the arena again this year. You know, come and be a part of it. We want as big a crowd. We had about, you know, 2,200 people in there for the championship game a year ago. We can do better than that, and I hope we do. And hopefully one of the regional teams, you know, potentially has a shot of playing, you know, for a national title. That would help as well to accent our local people.
John, 8 new teams come in. Would you rather have teams that had a positive experience bring more people back, or does that matter really?
I guess it really depends on who they are. I, you know, North Dakota had a nice crowd here last year. Drury brought some people. You know, are you, you know, if Drury came instead of Northern Kentucky, I don't know what the trade-off is. I know the Northern Kentucky sounds like they're pretty excited about being back in the tournament, and they think they're going to bring a pretty good group of people out here with it, and they're even talking about bringing a band if they make it to the, you know, to Saturday, because get them out of school. So, so I think they're excited about being here. So I don't know that that's a factor. I think you have the eight of the top teams in America playing, and it's just something you want to be, you know, have a chance to see.
John McBride, the athletic director at UNK, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking about the Elite Eight coming into Kearney for the second year. Anything that is going to be different this year that you're adding, you're subtracting, that fans will notice? Is there anything? Or because things were so smooth last year, at least outwardly, that everything ran so smooth. Is there any additions or subtractions to this year's tournament?
We are. The first 500 fans at each of the sessions, there will be some giveaway items, some keychains that the NCAA has provided. You know, we have added the court incentive as well for people who buy tickets. So if you come to the games or get there early or order tickets, you're going to get something as a commemorative look from the NCAA. I think the arena, we're going to dress the arena up a little bit more. It'll be the same setup that we had last year. The lower bowl east side will not be pulled out. Those will be pushed back in. We'll use the west side lower, the two end zone on the lower end, the upper chair backs on the west side, the blue chair backs, and then the end zones on the upper ends will be the area we'll go to after that. But that, you know, if we filled up that area, it's about 3,900 people, and you know that would be a great huge crowd for this event based on past numbers. So it's a nice setup. It'll be, you know, you're close to the action. It'll be all general admission, so people need to keep that in mind. We're not selling reserved seats. People can sit where they want. And the only thing we're required to do is reserve some seats behind the bench areas for the participating teams. So that's the only thing that'll be reserved during the whole tournament. Otherwise, it's pick your seat and enjoy the action.
John, the first time the UNK gets to win and bring home a national title, you get no time to enjoy it. So congratulations on that. Man, I know we're here to talk about the Women's Elite Eight, but congratulations on the wrestling team and their national title.
Well, thanks. And I've had some questions about whether anything, what we're doing publicly for them. We had a welcome back, very informal deal, which we had about 100 or so people that came out for. There's been questions about doing something else. We're trying to figure that out, but we're on spring break at school right now. Everybody's gone. They're getting ready for the wrestling, the tournament, the Midwest Classic, you know, down at the event center. So it's been a little tough to sit down and talk about that type of thing. We'll give them their due and make sure the public has a chance to, you know, maybe a reception, have a chance to just mingle with the kids and give the community a chance to say, you know, congratulations to an outstanding group of people. You know, as you stay in athletics for a number of years, you keep adding to your list of events that you've been at that's going to be memorable and at the top of the list, and that's one of them. I don't think I, from a team standpoint, can top that one as to how many people contributed to a national championship, because every point, literally every point in that whole 2 day of action turned out to be a point that won a championship, and nothing can prove that any better than what transpired there on that Saturday afternoon. And finally, I looked at the look on Mark Bauer's face, and it was relief. I can tell you that, you know, finally, you can see he said that to himself. It happened, and then we got the breaks. I told him before the event started, I'm not an aficionado of wrestling that much, but they try to talk me and keep me updated. I do know that the wrestle backs are real important. and I kept looking at those, and I knew we were doing well, but I told him, I hope the wrestling gods are with you.
Yeah.
And they were, because everything went their way that day. So thanks for that. And then Mark Bauer and his staff are to be commended for, you know, tremendous effort, and the kids did a great job out there.
You mentioned that Monday when we had him on the program. Great job by them. And John, before we let you get out of here, again, anything that you need to touch on or just reemphasize that tickets are available, folks. It's 1 week away. You got Easter weekend coming up, so I know you're going to be busy there. So why don't you knock out getting your tickets before you hit the road this weekend?
Well, and this is a good week to get tickets over at UNK because we're closed. You know, that's for spring break. So there's
plenty
of parking. There is a speech contest going on, so you do have to dodge a few folks that are on campus because there's a bunch on campus for that. But tomorrow and Friday will be good days to get tickets in advance. You don't have to mess with school being back in session next week and deal with that next week. You know, take care of that this week. Get your tickets. Again, 865-1563. If I could do one thing, in our outreach program, we have sponsors that made a $500 donation, and that's allowing about 100 kids and some parents to go see a game. But if I can, I hope you can allow me this opportunity.
Anything
here.
Anything for UNK.
Well, Little Caesars, I just want to list some folks that helped us with this outreach program because it's turned out to be one of the most memorable parts of the Elite Eight. But Little Caesars, Eek's Office Supply, Sonic Drive-In, Runza, Platte Valley State Bank, Fidelki Heating and Air Conditioning, the Antelope Bookstore, Arby's and Motel 6, McDermott Miller, Nebraska National, and the Kearney Optimist Youth Group, and then Score Marketing. All are people that are making all that possible. So if those names you heard there, you know the people that are associated with those businesses. As you see the atmosphere in that arena with all the kids and all the screaming and all the loudness and all the fun, you know, thank those people for making that possible because they've stepped up and made that a tremendous element of this Elite Eight.
Well, that was great last year, and I realize that not everybody can get off work at noon on Wednesday, but with the kids in there, that really helped things out, and now you have Wednesday and Thursday for kids to come and enjoy, and then, of course, you've got the evening sessions after that where hopefully everybody can get to it. It was a good time last year and saw some really good basketball. And I think the thing that made it even more exciting is nobody expected Southern Connecticut State to win the thing.
Right. And this is pretty wide open this year, too. I think any of the eight teams can win it. We are doing a UNK faculty and staff day on Wednesday. Free lunch with the help of Runza, free lunch and a free ticket through the chancellor's office, encouraging our people on campus to spend their lunchtime with us over at the Elite Eight. So that helped. We did that last year, too. That helped with that first game. For a 12 noon game on a Wednesday, I think you probably would agree with me. It was a tremendous atmosphere last year. Our band's not going to be there on the first day this year. There's too many class conflicts and other commitments. But UNK's band's going to be available for the semifinals and finals. So regardless, I think Washburn and South Dakota are the only two that are bringing bands. Northern Kentucky is a possibility. So, the atmosphere is important for that event. So we have that going with the UNK band, which is an atmosphere-building group, trust me.
Let's rent some high school bands. Let's get them in there. You want to rent them?
Tell us spring break. That's the only thing. I'm trying to get a hold of anybody's tough this time.
I got to figure out who Franklin Pierce is.
They're from New Hampshire, Daddy. They are one of the two teams, along with Alaska Anchorage, that left a unbeaten team at home in the regional finals. As we said, we're going to be catching up with some of the coaches, press conferences next week. We're going to give you complete coverage starting Monday here on the Doug and Daddy Show, the Elite Eight. John, thanks so much for coming in, and good luck. We'll see you at the Health and Sports Center next Wednesday.
Did I say that ticket number, 865-1563, if I failed to mention that about 50 times here today? Please get your tickets, Kearney. We need you. We need you out there.
865-1563, John. Best of luck. You and the crew do a great job.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, but before we do so, Derek, you know what's coming up this weekend?
This weekend?
Yeah, we got basketball, mm-hmm. even some NBA, even some hockey.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of other things going on,
mm-hmm.
and you want to eat.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, if you're like, if we weren't going to Omaha to watch this, we'd be sitting on our butts. We know it, watching basketball. And what would we be doing, Daddy?
We'd be eating Easter dinner.
Easter Sunday.
Ham.
Right around the corner.
Like bone in.
Oh. You like the you're a bone in guy, Danny?
I'm a bone in. That's where the flavor comes from.
After all the junk that you're going to be, that you could have, well, no. Why? Why? Thursday and Friday, get set up at Troutman's Quality Meat across from Bob's Superstore. T-Bone, the big steer out front, says we've got the freshest snack sticks, summer sausage. You know, you can get some brats, throw them on. Big shipment of string cheeses in. They've got a nice selection of beer and wine for those evening games or, you know, afternoon games, I guess, if that's the way you like it. But then, of course, you want something really, really good for the big meal. And, of course, nobody can beat the meat at Troutman's. Remember how a ham used to taste, Daddy? Well, Troutman's hams still do, Carrie says. And reserve your maple brown, sugar hickory, smoked ham today, boneless or bone in.
Yeah, we've heard.
Oh, so good.
that Lent season obviously coming to an end right
now.
They've
still got some fresh fish over there.
They've got fresh fish, and we've heard how good it's been. Several people have told us they've got it there, Troutman's Quality Meats.
Oh, that's right. They're just across from Bob's Superstore in Kearney. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more after this.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation with the Doug and Danny Show, where their motto is...
If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Don't pay too much for your next pre-owned vehicle. Kearney Auto Sales on East Highway 30 has earned a reputation for selling quality vehicles at prices you can afford. Looking for a Cummins diesel? How about this one-owner 2006 Dodge 3-quarter ton Bighorn Edition Crew Cab 4x4 with only 20,000 miles, or an extra nice 2006 Malibu LT. 34,000 miles with sunroof, spoiler, and just owned once. Call Brian or Dan at Kearney Auto Sales on East Highway 30 for the cars, trucks, and prices you want. Open weekdays till 6 and Saturday till 4.
Doctors of Chiropractic are trained physicians in the art and science of spinal manipulation. They use this training to treat a wide variety of conditions such as neck pain, back pain, headaches, and most sports injuries. For 17 years, Dr. John Klingensmith has provided chiropractic care that focuses on total body wellness. Maybe that's why in a recent Gallup poll survey, 90% of chiropractic patients judge their care as effective. So the next time life bangs you around, see Dr. John Klingensmith at Klingensmith Family Chiropractic. Call for an appointment today, 234-4940.
Not only does Lips Printing Service of Kearney have a wide variety of printing procedures, we also have a wide area that we provide service to. We come to you. We deliver to you. And our website is easy for you to use. No matter where you are located, Lips will provide the best in printing service. Visit our website at lipsprintzone.com or call us at 308-234-2319. Done right. On time, one customer at a time. Lips Printing Service of Kearney.
I'm Drew Anderson with the Cincinnati Reds, and you are listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Walter, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical. And here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
Call Fidelke Heating and Air today.
We'll see sunny skies develop today, along with some increasing cloudiness more in the afternoon. High temperatures will stay around the low 60s. Winds turn to the northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies, a low at 29 as winds become light and variable. High of 66 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 45.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You know, it's getting nice. This is a time maybe today or this weekend to head out to Prairie Hills, just 10 miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, and check out the beautiful course that is starting to come into shape. Kurt, Curtis, and Nick, see the new clubhouse, meet those new owners, feel the new attitude, and check out the membership options and opportunities, because you're probably wanting to scratch that itch a little bit as the weather warms up and you get a chance to go out and maybe just hit some balls. You don't even have to go out and play. If you want to go out and check out the new driving range, fine. If you do want to dust it off a little bit, try the simulator. You don't have to be outside. It's still not beautiful outside. Check out the simulator. Play virtually any PGA golf course as you get ready for the warmer weather. You can call for a tee time if you want. It is the best simulator of 2007. Measures ball tracking and swing speed, and they're looking forward to seeing you. Go out and say hi to Nick, Kurt, Curtis, or all three, you know, whatever. Now, if you don't like Kurt, oh, no, everybody loves Kurt. Everybody loves Nick. Curtis, you know, everybody loves Curtis as well. No, we love him, and we want to see you at Prairie Hills, and the membership options and opportunities are there. Go out and see him today. Check it out. It is the new attitude of Prairie Hills, 10 miles north of Kearney on Highway 10. A couple of other things, Daddy, before we bring in Sonny Galloway, who's about set to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to hear basketball. We're going to make our predictions at the end of the show as well. Speaking of golf, Hastings Golf won a tournament yesterday, Central Christian College spring invite in McPherson, Kansas. How about that?
Way to be them.
Hastings softball team, after winning the first two games in Tucson, dropped a pair of games yesterday. Today, they play the number one team in the nation, California Baptist, at 2:30. Then they play Waldorf at 4:30. So best of luck to them. Rocket Street comes to an end last night. Yay, don't care. What do you think?
Hey, it's a great run, great run. Nobody thought that possible, especially with the loss of Yao. So good for them. Celtics just really took care of business last night, about a 20-point win.
Yeah, 94-74. NAIA. Well, it's a little closer than we thought, but Northwestern of Iowa did win it 82-75 last night over College of the Ozarks, who were up by 7 at halftime. And then a nice run. Deb Remedy, named the player of the year in Division II yesterday, had 41 points.
Oh!
41. That's half the 82. 82-75. Also yesterday, Division II NAIA All-American team announced. Congratulations to Lindsey Ducey of Hastings College, first-team All-American. Kay Brockemeyer of Hastings College was a third-team All-American. UNK baseball beats Dakota Wesleyan yesterday 13-7. It's easy to score when you get 11 walks. 11 walks.
The ball over the plate. Come on.
And, of course, Nebraska, pretty impressive. They won game one. Game two coming up at 105. You'll be able to hear it on ESPN 1550.
Cool. Doug, you're talking a little bit of women's basketball. I'm getting back to this Elite Eight one time. It'd be a real shame if Wingate's not staying at the Wingate Inn. You know? What if, like, Franklin Pierce is staying at the Wingate Inn and Wingate's staying at Country Inn Suites?
Well, let's take Franklin Pierce. You know, that's kind of historic. What do? We get him down to Minden, Pioneer Village, see what's going on?
That'd be lovely. That'd be lovely. But Wingate should be staying at the Wingate Inn.
I'm telling you right now, I'm rooting for Alaska Anchorage. Could be the first team out in that noon game, but they're the Seawolves. They're coming the farthest. That's the team I want to win. I think their school colors are probably pretty cool. It'll be interesting to see who wins. Delta State's going to be the favorite. Man, if Delta State and South Dakota meet in that second semifinal Thursday, that's going to be a great one. But, again, we couldn't predict much last year. I mean, you didn't know who was going to win. Teams that weren't supposed to win did win, and it was pretty exciting. But some of the big dogs made it. Some of the big dogs didn't. It'll be interesting to find out what happens in the Elite Eight.
It will be interesting to see, but Doug, we've got to turn our attention to baseball right now.
That's right. We have had beautiful weather, and hopefully it will continue to be that way as we head into this weekend. So much going on, but of course, every week and of course this week, a couple of times, obviously focusing on baseball. Nebraska with this home series and home stand going on into the Easter weekend. Arkansas finishing up that series today, Daddy, and then very short time turnaround. Oklahoma comes in, and if Nebraska can get the win today and keep that winning streak going, you know, this could be some danger time because Oklahoma's now getting ready to start Big 12 play.
Well, yeah, and they sit at 16-5 and played awfully, awfully well. Now, maybe the coach can disagree with that after the Washington State Series last weekend, but nonetheless, Sonny Galloway, Oklahoma Sooner head coach, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, thanks so much for the time and welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on this morning.
Well, Coach, let's start with at least looking forward to a Big 12 play here. Mindset-wise, how does that change things as you prepare to open up Big 12 play, even though Nebraska got going last week?
Well, you know, Missouri and Oklahoma were the only two to not start, and we kind of got to sit back and see how everybody started off. And, you know, it's kind of what I thought. It's, you know, there were no sweeps except Nebraska against K-State. I think it's going to be another real tough Big 12 season, and I know this, we're drawing a really hot Nebraska club right now that's won, I don't know, 13 in a row, maybe looking at 14 after today. And we were on 11-game win streak, and that came to a screeching halt against Washington State. So we've won a couple in a row. We're trying to get back on track, and I know it's going to be a tough weekend, but we're looking forward to getting opened in Big 12 play. You always are, because that's really where, you know, the rubber meets the road. We've got to play well in conference, as does everyone else.
Coach, talk about throwing your kids right to the fire almost immediately this year. Well, not almost immediately, immediately this year, and facing UCLA out of the gate.
Well, it was, but it was a good test for us early on. You know, we had those extra 2 to 3 weeks to prepare this year with the common starting date. I'm sure that Coach Anderson, everybody else in the Big 12 has talked to their, you know, immediate fans and public about the compaction that we have, and so, you know, we find ourselves playing 5, 6, 7 games a week, as everyone else does. There's just an opportunity to develop a lot of players, and we're young, so we felt like going and trying to play the best people we could find. UCLA, preseason number one, we started one returning player in that first game, and unfortunately, after a 5-5 tie, we were left standing. They hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth, and I saw a young Sooner team that was just kind of in shock, you know, didn't know how to respond, but proud that we came back and won a 13-inning extra inning ball game in that game too against a really talented UCLA club. They're worthy of their ranking because they're very, very talented.
Sonny Galloway, the head baseball coach at Oklahoma, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You're at South Florida. In fact, you're in Tampa today as we chat with you, and a lot of connections there for you and the coaching staff. Is this kind of maybe, even though you're playing a couple of baseball games that you want to win, maybe your spring break, your last real breath of fresh air before you have to jump into the fire?
Well, it really is. And, you know, I was worried when I scheduled it that going all the way down to Tampa and then back to Lincoln could be tough. But it's also spring break. And, you know, it's a situation where some people like to stay at home and they're able to develop a little bit more. But you never know about the weather through the Midwest. And sure enough, we've had rains Monday and Tuesday. In Oklahoma, we wouldn't have been outside anyway. So it worked out really well for us. We're guaranteed to play pretty good weather here. We're right here by the Yankees complex. We have three of our former Sooners with the Yankees, and Daniel McCutcheon, Garrett Patterson, and Kevin Smith, the power-hitting first baseman. And then, of course, you know, Jabba Chamberlain from the Huskers is doing really well down here. Our young people like seeing that. I have connections with quite a few of the Yankees, and of course, South Florida's head coach, Lalo Prado, is related to Tino Martinez, their brother-in-law, and got to see Tino last night at the game as he's helping the South Florida program. So it's just a good place. We're going to start kind of having a home-and-away series with South Florida, and it's based on a relationship between two head coaches.
Coach, you've got a team that's putting up power numbers, but then you look at the pitching staff really slowing people down. You've got eight pitchers that have gotten 12 or more innings in, 21 games in. I think if you'd have told you that, you'd have taken that, getting some confidence in some young pitchers.
Well, there's no doubt. And, you know, it's a club right now that's very young. As I said, we have an awful lot of freshmen and sophomores, and a lot of the sophomores were one-year guys in junior college. Jeremy Urban, who will start Friday night against the Cornhuskers, is a junior college transfer after his freshman year. Young man we threw last night, Chase Anderson, for the first six innings, is a sophomore after spending 1 year in junior college. Jamie Johnson, our starting center fielder, spent 1 year in junior college. These are all guys that had Division I offers but chose to go to junior college to test the draft, and after they didn't necessarily get drafted where they wanted to, they chose to go ahead and go to Division I. So we're really getting the best of both worlds with a lot of those guys. They had experience 1 year in junior college, and they're ready for the Division I game. And we only return a couple of guys. You know, Aaron Baker, who's our first baseman, is a very good player, and Al J. Davis, who was playing second base for us, is now in left field, and he's been playing well. But everybody else is new. We've got a lot of freshmen and a lot of inexperience that we're hoping to gain experience game by game.
Sonny Galloway, the head baseball coach at Oklahoma, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we talked with Coach Hill at Kansas State last week, we kind of talked about the importance of getting off to a good start with Nebraska 6th, Kansas State 7th. You guys actually picked 8th in the preseason coaches poll. Were you a little surprised by that, and how important is it to get out of the gate with a good start to make sure that that's not going to hold true this season?
Well, I think it's very important to get off to a good start, and I wasn't really surprised by the preseason, you know, rankings, because there's not a whole lot for the other Big 12 coaches to worry about. They don't know the players that we recruit. We don't necessarily recruit players just because other schools do. We recruit them because we like them and they fit our system. And, you know, if that's where the other Big 12 coaches see us finishing, then that's their opinion. But I'll be very honest with you, their opinion doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to my program. Doesn't matter to my university. What matters is how we go out and perform every day. And that's where what we'll do. And, you know, we are off to a good start. We've played some good teams. But, again, we've got to perform in the Big 12. And I think there'll come a time when our program gets the respect due to it in the Big 12. But that hasn't been the case probably for the, you know, last 8 or 9 years. I mean, before I even came back to the University of Oklahoma. So you have to earn that respect. We understand that.
Sonny, what catches your eye when you look at Mike Anderson and the squad he's putting on the field?
Well, I think it's I think they resemble Mike. Mike's a guy that I really respect. Mike was a volunteer coach back in the 90s when I was a volunteer at Oklahoma, and we were Big 8 guys, and there's not many guys in the Big 12 that can say they were Big 8 guys. And, you know, I think Tim Jamison, myself, and Mike might be the only three. And we were all assistants at that time, and he worked hard to get to where he is as a volunteer there at the University of Nebraska. I worked hard at Oklahoma, and, you know, I'm glad to see that he has the success that he does. But his club carries his personality. They're tough. They're built on mental toughness, and they play hard. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that every time we play Nebraska, I tell my guys, this is how you want to play. They play hard. What we want to add to that is to be fundamentally sound and to add a mental toughness regarding of a call, ball, a strike, a safe, an out call. That doesn't matter to us. It's over. It's done with. Let's just be mentally tough and play hard. And then when you add some guys like Nemo and you add some guys like Jamie Johnson on our side, some really tough kids that love playing the game, I think you have ingredients for success. And That's what Mike does so well. I respect what he does. He's been in the game for a long time, and he and I have known each other for a long time.
Sonny Galloway, head baseball coach at Oklahoma University. Coach, Daddy took St. Joe to beat Jeff Capel in Oklahoma in the first round. Anything you want to say to him about that?
Oh, man, that's getting personal. Now, come on, we're all in this Big 12 together, you know? Let's stick together. Now, I tell you what, I was looking at those draws. I will tell you this, I'm just excited for Jeff Capel. He is a heck of a coach, and the fact that he's got his program in the NCAA tournament for the first time as a head coach, it's an exciting time for him. So, you know what, I'll just go the other way. I got to pick my boy Jeff. He's going to get after him. Trust me, we're going to go get that first-round game.
Coach, thanks so much for letting us catch up with you this morning. Enjoy the weather in Tampa, and we'll see you this weekend.
All right, see you guys soon. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, Coach. Sonny Galloway, good guy, great coach. Oklahoma baseball, they're coming up. And again, though, Nebraska's got a chance to start the Big 12 slate against teams that are supposed to be not as good as them, and that makes it important for Nebraska to win the games. Yes, a 3-0 sweep over K-State. They must take 2 out of 3 this weekend from Oklahoma, if not to get the sweep. They've got to get 2. They're playing at home. Big games, and Johnny Dorn goes in game 1, and they are playing Friday, Saturday, and Easter Sunday for your information. Hey, if you want to catch baseball, if you want to catch basketball, if you want to catch the golf, well, you need a lot of TVs, and they've got them for you at the Chicken Coop, where there's not a bad seat in the house. Great food and drink specials every night, featuring all the Coop's favorites. Stop by for lunch tomorrow. Of course, Friday, you got Lent wrapping up. They've got all kinds of great fish deals. But for the basketball tournaments, NIT tonight, you can go watch the Huskers because that's a place that you can watch the Husker game is the Chicken Coop, being on ESPN Classic and not on basic cable. You'll be able to check it out. Check out their great food and drink specials tonight. How about the ribs? Bring the gang. Bring the family. They've got pizza. They've got chicken. Boneless wings. Love those things. And, of course, so do the kids. And you get the boneless wings in all the same flavors that you get the regular wings in. You can try the quesadillas. You can try the ribs. Whether it's just something to snack on or whether it's a full-fledged meal, Chicken Coop has it for you. All your favorite sports, all your favorite beverages, all your favorite food. What more would you want than just a great place to watch games? And you can do that at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney, and Grand Island. When we come back into the NCAA basketball tournament, we will be bringing you updates with some of our friends from papers around the Big 12 and also around the NCAA, USC, Cal State Fullerton, Wisconsin. Then Daddy and I give our picks. Stay with us on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Something wrong, sir? I will not tolerate this flagrant mockery of my intelligence.
Neener, neener, neener. Doug and Daddy will be right back to further insult your intelligence.
Colin Coward, do you enjoy music? Do you enjoy silence? Well, there's a time for both, and that's why I recommend Quiet Comfort 2 acoustic noise-canceling headphones from Bose. I love them. I use them. I'm sure you'll love them, too. Call 800-890-2073. 800-890-2073. You need to try these Bose Quiet Comfort 2 headphones, patented noise reduction technology. It helps fade background distractions, so you'll appreciate your music or tranquility so much more. I use them to reduce noise whenever I fly. The difference is amazing. I know that lots of people enjoy them on trains and buses. They're so comfortable, you can forget you're wearing them, and the sound is just amazing. Call 800-890-2073 to try Quiet Comfort 2 headphones for 30 days, risk-free. When you call, ask about making low monthly payments with no interest charges from Bose. Order now for free shipping. Order today. Here's the number, 800-890-2073. And leave the noise behind.
Hi, this is Jeff Benjamin of Benjamin's Landscaping of Kearney and Holdridge. Let us put our nearly 40 years of experience to work for you on your lawn. Contact us today for a free estimate. You won't believe our competitive prices. Keeping your lawn beautiful is our business. Benjamin's Landscaping in Kearney and Holdridge. Great service, great value.
March Madness means it's time again for the Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge. Go to our webpage at ESPNSuperstation.com and get your entry in for a chance to win fabulous prizes from the Doug and Daddy Show in 2008. North Carolina, Kansas, Memphis, UCLA, Georgetown, or a dark horse. Who's your pick to win the NCAA tournament? Simply log on to ESPNSuperstation.com and get your entry set for the Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge.
Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We continue our preview of the team coming to Omaha for the NCAA basketball tournament that gets underway tomorrow. And Daddy, we talked with Kansas State yesterday, and Kansas State coming up here. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of fans, but as the folks told us from Kansas City, there's not going to be a lot of love lost. So I think there might be some Kansas fans that start rooting for Southern Cal as they get ready for Kansas State. And pretty much everybody's saying this is the biggest first-round matchup in any region of the country.
Well, there's a reason for that. The two spectacular freshmen in O.J. Mayo and Michael Beasley. We're pleased to be joined to talk about O.J. Mayo right now. From the L.A. Times, Ben Bolts joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Ben, thanks so much for the time today.
Thanks for having me.
Ben, talk a little bit about O.J. Mayo and what he has done throughout this season to make him one of the spectacular players in the country.
Well, I would say actually he had been a little underwhelming until about the last 6 weeks. He's really turned it on. I think he was averaging about 25 points over the last 6 weeks. Before that, obviously he was getting his points, but he wasn't quite making the impact that I think a lot of people had envisioned. But recently here, he's really turned it on and kind of been the guy that people were saying, you know, would be the next LeBron coming out of high school. So he's really been something special here over the last almost 2 months. And, I mean, really has carried USC throughout the season, but it's really only become the player I thought he was going to be over the last little stretch here.
Ben, is there a reason? Was there a flip of the switch? Or was there something that happened personally for him that kind of got things going in the second half?
Well, it's interesting you say that because he's really turned it on after his worst game, which was against UCLA. It was a home game in which he scored only 4 points, had 10 turnovers, and was playing in front of his mother, who had come all the way from West Virginia to Los Angeles. And after that game, for whatever reason, he's really turned it on. And I don't, he won't say that was the deciding factor, but I think it really was. And he also had the realization that, hey, you know, my college career could be coming to an end here, so I better get it going.
Ben, does it surprise you, a lot of the national people picking UCLA to win this whole deal? USC's been a team that's competed with UCLA, although they do have 11 losses. Is inconsistency one of their flaws?
Inconsistency has definitely been something that this team has had to deal with. I mean, you look at their roster, 7 of their top 8 players are either freshmen or sophomores. So, it's a team that has recently really come together. And early in the year, I mean, you look at it, they lost to Mercer. They lost to California, which was one of the worst teams in the Pac-10. But recently, I think we've seen a more consistent and more inspired effort, and these guys are kind of growing up before our eyes.
Talking with Ben Bolts of the L.A. Times here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they get ready to take on Kansas State in the opening round tomorrow night. Obviously, it's not all O.J. Mayo. Tell us a little bit about his supporting cast, and as you look at Gibson and Jefferson and some of the other guys, tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, he's definitely got a nice inside duo in Taj Gibson and Davon Jefferson. Gibson's a sophomore, shot blocker extraordinaire, good defensive guy who also very skilled offensively. They kind of run their offense through him, get him the ball in the post, needing either go to the basket, spot up, or find one of his teammates. Davon Jefferson will be probably USC's most athletic player on the floor. He's a 6'8 guy who really gets the basket, does a lot of alley-oop plays, a real explosive kind of player. And then they've got kind of the, what I call the glue guy, Daniel Hackett. Not much of a scorer, but he's the point guard, the guy who's kind of the steadying force and calms the team down and keeps them with level head. Those are kind of the key guys that surround O.J.
Ben, what was the initial reaction when the team found out they were going to Omaha for a regional?
Honestly, I don't think they were super excited except for the fact that it was the O.J. versus Bill Walker, who's his childhood friend from West Virginia, and O.J. versus Beasley, who he played with on the AAU circuit for so long, or against, I should say. They weren't real excited with that destination. I think I was just talking to Daniel Hackett. He said he was hoping for Tampa so they could lay out on a beach. But I think once they get there, they'll have a different tune. I've been out there for the College World Series. I know it's a great area. I think once they get out there, they'll like it a lot.
Talking a little USC basketball with Ben Bolsch of the LA Times. Tim Floyd coming home. Have you approached that subject with him and the old Big 12 coach coming back to some stomping grounds that he's a little familiar with?
No, I haven't, but it's funny because Larry Eustacey was out here, been out here the last couple of days. The old Iowa State coach was out here and was hanging out with practice. And so I haven't asked Floyd about that. We talked a lot about getting back to the NCAA tournament last year after he was at the Bulls in New Orleans. But no, I haven't really approached that topic with him.
Ben, before we let you go, how deep can this USC team go in this tournament?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you look at they got quite the gamut of predictions. People are saying they're going to beat Kansas State, and they're kind of a fashionable pick to go to the Sweet 16 among some people. I think this second round matchup, if they do happen to get past Kansas State with Wisconsin, it throws real problems for them. I mean, Wisconsin has some similarities to Washington State, which was really the only Pac-10 team that gave USC fits and swept them, and they really weren't in either game. So, if they get past this first game, they could be looking at a second-round exit.
Well, we appreciate the time, Ben. Thanks for giving us that time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Safe trip to Omaha, and we look forward to seeing you and the Trojans at the Quest Center.
All right, thank you so much.
Well, Daddy, we continue on our coverage of the NCAA tournament teams that are coming to Omaha here on the Doug and Daddy Show. By looking at Cal State Fullerton, I think you look at Portland State and you just automatically dismiss them as a 16 seed. But I think any time you get, I mean, it's happened with 15, but I think any time you get 14 and above, there is a possibility that this team can win a game, maybe even win a couple of games in the NCAA tournament. And Cal State Fullerton is one of those teams. We talked about this earlier in the program, and we chatted about Wisconsin. I think this is a very, very interesting matchup where Fullerton is going to have to find a way to keep scoring like they have all season long.
Well, they made their first trip to the NCAA tournament in 30 years with an 81-66 win over UC Irvine last Saturday in Anaheim. Of course, an exciting time for this program. We're pleased to be joined from the Orange County Register by Janice Carr right now. Janice, thanks so much for the time.
You're welcome.
Well, you're back here in Nebraska. Well, you're back, as we said, you're back here in Omaha and in Nebraska, where the College World Series has been pretty kind to Cal State Fullerton. How much difference is there in the following of the baseball team and the basketball team, I guess, would be first off, as far as fans and maybe level of interest?
About one-third less. It's amazing. Baseball generally can attract 2,000 people to a midweek game or a Friday night game, and basketball has trouble drawing 400.
Does that affect?
The school can't figure out why. The students don't respond to the basketball games. They've gotten a little bit more student attendance this year, but it's a conundrum that the school has never figured out.
Well, Janice, you keep getting players like transfers from Washington State and Josh Akignon, who was a
Akoyan,
excuse me. Oh, sorry to butcher that name. But you keep getting players like that. It's certainly got to pique some interest out there, does it not?
Yeah, well, right now, Fullerton's on a lot of people's tongues. I've heard from a lot of former Cal State Fullerton grads regarding this because it's been so long. You never met, like Steve Shaw, who played on the 1978 team, the last team to go to the final NC2A, he said, you know, after 30 years, you really wonder if it's ever going to happen again, because most teams generally make another appearance between every 30 years. They don't wait every 30 years.
Well, we heard Jim Rome talking about it earlier in the week, about this team getting out there. Because they have come out and made the NCAA tournament, can you tell if there's more interest right now, or do we need to write these guys off?
Yes, there's more interest right now. And even in the conference tournament, they had a lot more fans than they've ever had. So it was a good turnout for them.
Janice, you know, when you talk about this team, this is a team that gets up and down the floor. They average 82.7 points a game. They're a high-octane offense.
Yes, they are. And they're going to have a challenge against Wisconsin, which is slow, tall, and big. Compared to Fullerton center is 6'5". They don't even really have a center. He's just a power forward.
We're speaking with Janice Carr, the Orange County Register, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I also see here that this team is ranked 295th field goal percentage defense. It seems to, at least to me, if it's that easy for Wisconsin to score, we might actually see an up-tempo basketball game.
Yeah. And Fullerton plays, don't tell the coach this because he gets mad, but they don't play a whole lot of defense. But there have been times down the stretch that they've played great defense. So it'll be interesting to see. What Fullerton cannot do is panic, you know, because Wisconsin plays efficiently, and they, you know, they're the top team in the nation and defensive team in the nation. And so Fullerton cannot, first of all, fall behind by many, because then they're going to have to rely on their three-point shooting. And while Josh Okoyan is one of the best three-pointers in the shooters in the country, those three-pointers, you have to start shooting them in panic, and that's what Fullerton cannot do, is get rattled. They just have to keep playing that up-tempo speed and try to get Wisconsin rattled.
Janice Carr from the Orange County Register joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk a little Cal State Fullerton basketball. Janice, anybody that knows much about the Big West and the Big West Conference and saw this team, they know that the co-player of the year was Scott Cutley. The team kind of goes as he does throughout the year. Is that not true?
Yeah, but you know, one thing about Scott is that that you don't hear a lot about is the injuries that he's played through. He's played through like broken hand. I think it's a broken wrist or finger. I mean, he doesn't complain a lot. He's one of those guys. And the thing about it is he's 6'5", and he's a big guy. I forget what his weight is, but the thing is, he can move inside. Those 6'5" guys that they have can move. You know, they're pretty agile inside. They're not, the 6'11 guys might tend not be as agile. So I think that'll work in their favor.
Janice, what about the competition? Give me an overall view of the Big West in basketball. I'm looking at some of the non-conference. There wasn't any real signature wins. Their only win over a top 100 team is this Portland State team that's coming in to get thrashed by Kansas, I guess you would say. What about the level of competition that they have seen this year? Is their record legit? Is their 14 seed legit? Are they laying in the weeds? What about their competition?
I think the 14 seed is maybe a little high. I was just we were expecting a 16 seed, the other reporter and I, and because their competition, of course, is not the Big Ten, and even though the Big Ten is not a great basketball conference, which I probably shouldn't say that, but I don't think the level of competition is the same. What they have faced this year is nothing compared to what some of these teams have faced. I don't think their level, Irvine played a tougher schedule, in my opinion, than Fullerton did.
Janice, what was the overall reaction when this team got announced they were coming to the regional in Omaha?
It was amazing. It was just, most of the basketball players, they had no idea, but it was kind of funny that Bob Burton, the coach, told me that one of the first people to call him after it was announced that they were going to Omaha was George Horton. So that was kind of interesting, since George has been here a few times.
Did George tell him anything, or has they shared that conversation at all?
No, he didn't tell me what he said. I'm sure he said, told him where to eat and that kind of stuff.
Where are you eating at?
I don't know yet. Just got into town.
I thought maybe you already had a couple places on your schedule to go every time
out. One of my favorite places is McKenna's.
Well, Daddy knows a whole bunch about eating here, so I know that he's nodding his head here that's a good choice.
You can't go wrong. Omaha's got so much good food to offer, and that's why so many of us are fat here.
And the other thing you can't discount is that I don't know if you've seen the parallels between the 78 team and this team. There's they were both the 3 seed in the conference tournament. They both had 8 wins going in the conference. I mean, 8 losses in the conference. There's a lot of parallels between 30 years ago and this team. So it's kind of interesting.
And, of course, in 78, Fullerton went all the way to the regional finals, and that's back when we didn't have the 64 teams, took Arkansas to the wire in that game.
Yeah, it was the Elite Eight. They went to the Elite Eight. They missed the Final Four by 3 points. Four points.
Janice, we really appreciate catching up with you and getting insight into the Cal State Fullerton basketball team.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Janice Carr, Orange County Register, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show, wrapping it up. Did you really want to hear about Portland State? I mean, seriously?
No. And after talking to Janice, I think Cal State Fullerton is...
Yeah, well, I mentioned earlier in the show, I thought maybe... No. Wisconsin is moving on in my bracket. Because I thought the whole thing, I thought this was one of those little pods that could really be messy. Cal State Fullerton wins, then all of a sudden you got the USC-Kansas State going boom, boom, getting two wins and moving on and getting real interesting there against, you know, if you're going to pick Georgetown, we're going to release our picks. I'm sure everybody's fired up about here in just a moment coming up after the break. But, yeah, boy, that wasn't a rousing stamp of approval on the Cal State Fullerton program.
There's
chances here.
You know, I would have thought, hey, they're fired up to be there. They're on a roll winning the conference tournament, as she mentioned, the 3 seed. You're coming through. You're doing so many good things. What a momentum streak they're on. Boy, we think the Big Ten's down this year. We're going to take – I think the kids are excited to be here.
Well, and remember, last year it was Long Beach State that was here, and that's who Tennessee hung 121 on. Now, obviously, this Wisconsin team is totally, totally different. But, Daddy, I think, you know, you want to look at some things, maybe the overs.
Yeah. Well,
I think Wisconsin scores on this team now that we look a little more at it.
Well, I'm not sure. I think Wisconsin plays. I didn't realize the size disparity, as well. Wisconsin plays that lockdown defense. I'm not sure they're going to be able to score.
Well, it all depends what Wisconsin wants to do pace-wise. That's what I'm saying. If it's that easy to score, you're going to score. If you're running your offense and the shots are there, of course, you know, then again, maybe the reason Cal State's so bad is because they only look to play offense and up, down, up, down, up, down. You score, we score, you score, we score, and we beat you by three in the end. But it'll be interesting. I'm not going to advance Cal State Fullerton. Maybe one of the brackets just for fun.
No. None of the brackets, just for fun.
When we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show, our selections to win the national championship, and I think probably the odds are somebody will probably beat us in the Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge, but I don't know. After dominating bowl week, just dominating, going 9-1, bowl week, you know, I might be okay. Let's take a break. Back with our selections after this.
And now, here's another in our series of things that happened during the Doug and Daddy Show commercial breaks that you can be glad you didn't hear.
Well, stop licking yourself. That's disgusting.
Makes you look forward to the breaks, doesn't it?
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Tri-City Store will be on the road this weekend, traveling to Lincoln on Friday and Cedar Rapids on Saturday. They return home on Friday, March the 28th. The Nebraska women's basketball team is in the NCAA tournament. Their first round game is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock against Xavier. That game will be shown on ESPN2. A win would put them into the second round on Tuesday, most likely against the top seed Maryland. The Nebraska men's basketball team plays their opening round game in the NIT tonight at the Devaney Center at 8 o'clock against the Charlotte 49ers. The game is on ESPN Classic. The Nebraska wrestling team is headed to St. Louis, Missouri this weekend for the NCAA championships. In baseball, Hastings is winding down their trip in Oklahoma. They will return home Friday to take on Northwestern of Iowa and Briarcliff on Saturday. UNK baseball team will host New Mexico Highlands Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The Nebraska baseball team will host Arkansas Wednesday and welcome in Oklahoma Friday through Sunday. And that's a Sports Minute.
Now here's some news you can use. Did you know that ESPN Superstation Super Fan Club members can post free classifieds on ESPNSuperstation.com? It's true. Our local classified ads allow you to find or sell merchandise and services with the click of a mouse. Up to 250 words, full color pictures with any information you want your potential buyers to know. And it's all free to our Super Fan Club members. See, I told you this was news you could use. Get complete details and sign up now at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Kuiper Jr. here. Have you always dreamed about a career in sports? Dr. Lynn Lashbrook with Sports Management Worldwide offers online training courses that launch your sports career. Sports Management Worldwide at smww.com trains people in as little as 8 weeks to be sports agents, scouts, and work in the front offices of the NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, and NASCAR. Call Sports Management Worldwide at 877-SMWW now. That's 877-SMWW-NOW. Call now or visit smww.com.
Jackson, go tell Brinkman to speed things up on the job site.
That's a long way, boss, but I'm on my way.
Message delivered, sir.
One more thing. Run back and tell him that...
We really need Nextel Direct Connect. I think I pulled a hammy.
Connect at the touch of a button with Nextel Direct Connect from Sprint. Get the rugged IC502 by Motorola. Just $69.99 for your business account. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Sprint. Ends 4-1908. Excludes taxes. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit. Available corporate liable activations and eligible upgrades only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Well, Daddy, now it's time to take a look at our brackets. This is it. We're done. The brackets are filled out, and we're ready to go. We've heard from all the people. We're ready to go to Omaha. We're ready to see some basketball. And let's start there in the Midwest region since we're going to Omaha. I still think this is the toughest region. Not exactly sure what, but here's who I've got. I've got in the Final Four, or in the Sweet 16, Kansas against Clemson and Wisconsin against Georgetown. In that first round, I do have Davidson, Southern Cal, and Siena advancing. Mike Greenberg took Siena this morning. Of course, we filled our brackets out last night. Haven't looked at each other's, so we may have some similarities or some big differences, but that's the way I have it. Then I have Kansas out against Wisconsin and Kansas going to the Final Four.
Doug, we're about exactly the same. You have more upsets in the first round than I. I'm pretty much just a chalk guy in the Midwest. I think Wisconsin against Georgetown. Georgetown and Roy Hibbert could be obviously Georgetown can win that ball game. Obviously the Big Ten champion. We both got advancing to face Kansas.
All right, let's go to the East. I'm having a hard time finding any way in any of the brackets that I filled out to keep North Carolina out of the Final Four. I really don't see a team that can beat North Carolina. Some people obviously do. I don't think Louisville can. In fact, I'm not impressed with Louisville. Tennessee's good, but I think if they play North Carolina, you got the coaching edge to Roy Williams maybe, and I think North Carolina playing close to home gets that. So I've got North Carolina against Washington State and Oklahoma taking on Tennessee with North Carolina beating Tennessee to go to the Final Four. Nothing really wacky in the first round.
You know, I've got St. Joseph actually upsetting Oklahoma in that first-round matchup, so Oklahoma's gone for me. I've got Louisville facing Tennessee in the Sweet 16, Tennessee advancing out of that. I'm with you. Don't like Louisville. I've only saw them play once or twice and have not really impressed me. Tennessee's a team that has impressed me at times. You go back to early January, it was the second half, I believe it was Vanderbilt or Kentucky, one of those deals. They absolutely just ran them out of the gym, scored 58 points. But they're an athletic group. They're 6'6" athletes. How are they gonna handle Mr. Hansborough? I don't think they can. Hansborough's a monster. I think North Carolina advances.
Okay, let's go to the other side of the bracket now, and we go to the South region. And I think this is pretty wide open as well, but I have not liked Texas. I am impressed with Stanford. And Stanford could get beat about any time, but I like Stanford. This is a team I think that can do some damage. And you know what? I like Memphis. I think Memphis, this is the best Memphis team, that they've had, and you can say what you will about their competition, but they have played some good competition this year. I have Memphis taking on Michigan State and Stanford taking on Texas. No major shockers there. And then I have Memphis beating Stanford to go to the Final Four. Memphis in the finals.
See, I'm on the other side of you. I've been impressed with Texas and their ability. You know what? They played an awfully, awfully darn good Kansas team, which I'm very impressed with. And I think it'll be very, very interesting to see them face the 7-foot bookends in the Lopez boys from Stanford.
And I'll comment about this. A lot of people scratch their head. You know what? If Texas and Stanford meet, I'm just looking at that game. And that's the way I fill these bracket outs. I look at that game. Who would win that game? I don't work my way backwards like some people do. Texas had a hard time with Alex March. What are they going to do with 2 7-footers inside? And that's why I took Stanford to win that.
Interesting point. I've got Texas advancing over Stanford. I guess I've got Memphis playing the media darling out there in Pittsburgh. I've got Memphis advancing in that one. I've got Texas, though, beating Memphis and advancing on.
Well, thank goodness we didn't want the exact same Final Four, because as we go to the West, I'm somewhat surprised that we picked the same team. UCLA seems to be a team that could win the national championship, or I think a team that could get beat at any time in this tournament, and I have UCLA losing in the second round. You got to make a pick somewhere. You got to stick your neck out somewhere. This is where I'm doing it. Could be totally wrong, but I think Texas A&M is the type of ball club that could beat UCLA. BYU might beat A&M, and if BYU plays UCLA, UCLA goes all the way to the Final Four. But I'm going to take Texas A&M to play Connecticut. And then I've got Xavier playing Duke, and then I have Duke beating Connecticut to head to the Final Four. I think, you know, yeah, Duke shoots a lot of threes. Guess what? They're 27-5, people. They're going to win some games.
Well, it's interesting because we're basically on the same page here. I've got UCLA facing Connecticut and Xavier facing Duke. UCLA advancing out of there to face Duke, with Duke moving on to the Final Four as well.
So, ironically, we have three of the same Final Four. You have North Carolina, Kansas, Texas, and Duke. I have North Carolina, Kansas, Memphis, and Duke. In the finals, why not? North Carolina taking on Duke. Although the more I think about this, Memphis might beat Duke if they get to the Final Four in San Antonio. But I have North Carolina over Duke, and I have North Carolina winning the national championship.
You know, Bill Self's been to three Elite Eights. He's never been to a Final Four. This Kansas team not only takes him to the Final Four, but they take him to the title game, and they win it. They beat Duke. I've got Kansas as the national champion.
So Kansas for Daddy, North Carolina for me. It'll be fun to watch all the ball games. We hope you enjoy them. They're right here on ESPN Radio. Again, there will be no Doug and Daddy show the next couple of days because of the NCAA basketball tournament. We're heading to Omaha. We're also going to catch some baseball later today. Glad that we could have you with us on the show today. To Sonny Galloway, Oklahoma baseball coach, John McBride, athletic director at UNK, and all the folks around the roundtable that helped us discuss the basketball teams from Cal State Fullerton and Washington and USC. Thanks so much for joining us on the Dung and Daddy Show. Daddy, extended vacation. I'll see you Wednesday. We'll make sure to make fun of you Monday and Tuesday.
Well, tournament challenge, don't forget, you still got time. We're down about 23 hours from now. 23 more hours, Dung and Daddy tournament challenge. Go become an ESPN Superfan, ESPNSuperstation.com. Then go to the tournament challenge. Join the Doug and Daddy group. The password is winner. Just take your time, people. It's not like it's going to take you an hour to do this.
We want you to be a winner. Got some great prizes. We'll talk more about the NCAA coming on Monday. Also on Monday, Linda Van Langen is going to be joining us. She's calling the games in the Elite Eight. We'll also talk to Chuck Dummer. The Pheasants Forever Banquet is coming up. All that and a whole lot more is coming your way Monday on the Doug and Daddy.
ESPN Radio 1460 is going to be here.
You've been listening to